Hey Wire fans, it is Josh Felis here. I'm delighted to announce that I've extended my contract till 2030. I can't wait for the future, but we've got a lot going on right now, so keep getting behind the team, Wire fans, really appreciate it.
Hello, welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London. So, as the first man in history, yes, the first man in history, runs under 2 hours for the marathon, where are my two long-distance podcasters? Firstly, the marathon dates back to 490 BC, when a Greek messenger ran from Marathon to Athens, which is far more commitment than our Mr. Statistics, whose last stat also dates back before Christ, although in his case, he just wandered off mid-sentence and never finished it. Introducing Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, the marathon was extended in 1908 for the London Olympics by 385 yards, just so it could finish in front of the Royal Box. But never mind this old lad running 26 miles. Ha ha ha, he couldn't even run 385 yards. Yes, it's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
We've had podcasts longer than 2 hours, haven't we? I think.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
Remember the first one we ever did? It must have been about 3.5 hours long.
Yeah. That was it. I had a Greek platter. I sent you a picture of it on the weekend. Did you see it? It was in a road called Fitzgerald Road. I thought straight away a Fitzy.
Well, it's funny you should say that, actually, because this week I just caught the end of the Bench podcast with Fitzy, as he's now known, with Chris Radlinski. And I'd like to say that I think he's calmed down a little now. And he actually made a really good point. And I thought I'd kick this off with the talk about the NRL taking over and stuff. And his point was, is that in 1895, they basically, 20 teams got together and they just got on with it and did it. And he was almost advocating the same thing. So I think the same thing. I think, you know what, this game needs a right good fucking shake up. And so I think really we should do is just say, get 20 people, say, yeah, that'll do, and crack on with the NRL. What do you think?
Will they be meeting in Huddersfield just so we can keep Huddersfield in the competition?
No, possibly. But in that little interview, he did admit as well that Steve McNamara was part of the longer term plan. So it was a bit unfortunate that he's.
You mean at Warrington?
Yes. I don't know if anybody's picked up on that, but he sort of said, like, yeah, he was a bit disappointed because he thought, you know, what's happening with Sam Burgess. So there you go. Maybe he's seen sense nowadays. So good on him.
Fair enough. You look a bit lonely, Sam.
I am very lonely. I'm very lonely. Mrs. Sankey's buggered off to Milan and left me alone with the dogs.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm feeling unloved and undernourished. I've had to eat beans on toast.
Has there been any heavy petting with the dogs while she's away? Is that?
Oh, significant petting. They both look frightened. They're hoping she does come back on Wednesday night and not leave it too long.
There you go. Start the podcast off with a bit of dogging. What do you reckon?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Why not? Okay, should we review the Wigan game?
Oh, yes.
You were so enthusiastic, the pair of you there then, weren't you, when I said that? That was great. The team was Taylor Ray came back in, Josh Thulis, Hopewarty, King Ashton, Irwin Sneed, Byrne Walker Thomas, Stone Bentley, and Curry captain the side. Interchange bench was Crowther Wood, Tanganawa, and Philbin made his 200th appearance as substitute. So, with the crowd at the Halliwell Jones in excess of 13,000, here's the highlights.
With Sneed missing out a couple, lovely ball back in the inside, superbly taken. What about that try? Just Thulis. That was absolutely magical.
In the dark of night, those small hours.
Sneed again, and a good take from Bentley, and Hoppawattie for the line! Oh, what a score that is! What a finish! Albert Hoppawattie!
Rooms full of strangers.
But are they creating something here now with the long legs of Kieran? And Eckersley's there in support as well. Switches the angles and then puts the foot down. And up he goes! What about that? Zach Eckersley with an absolute wonder try.
Those small hours I drift away when I'm with you.
Kulis! Oh, he slipped through again! Waltzes through that defence! Puts the quick step on! And Warrington fans are dancing with delight!
I wish you were. Here comes the clown.
He's going to go for the drop goal attempt, and he puts it over! A moment of history! 50 drop goals in Super League for Mark Sneed.
In the dark of night, his faces, they haunt me, but I wish.
And a searching ball for Hoppawattie. Here he goes again! Here he goes again! Sliding in at the corner. That should do it.
Final score, Warrington 23, Wigan 6. There were two tries for Thulis, two tries for Hoppawattie. Conversions, Sneed kicked 2 from 4. He also kicked a penalty and a drop goal. Referee was Aaron Moore. Attendance, 13,218. Okay. I don't think I watched it live. I think I woke about half an hour after, so I was on that. I could fast forward the through the captain's challenges and the conversions and all that. So it was pretty good for me. Dennis, you only had a 2G signal.
Yes. So I didn't. I was on a 48-hour lag. I did actually watch the whole game, which I'll come on to in tackle gags. But yeah, I didn't quite catch it, but I've seen it now. But I'd be really interested to see how the atmosphere was with Sam's attendance.
Well, he was there. He was there with Missy Sankey. She clearly wasn't in Milan on the weekend because he sent a lovely picture. Lovely picture of them both through together. It's a bit like when I see the pictures of them both together now. You know, like some of these old movie stars marry a much younger woman. I get that feeling. Like it's like it was the one from the Welsh girl who married the who did she marry the you know the old bloke.
No, we're not going to get this. Can we not just say Hugh Hefner?
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Like Catherine Zeta-Jones with that old bloke, whoever she married. Mm. Yeah, that's what it's like. It's a worry to
Douglas.
Douglas.
Yes, right. Michael Douglas. Well, on that, would you like the review from Mrs. Sankey, the aforementioned Mrs. Sankey?
Yeah, that'll be far more knowledgeable than anyone else's. Yes. Yeah.
She picked up on three main points. Number one, the light show, it's like someone's got a child to stand next to a switch and just turn them on and off as quick as possible.
Oh, excellent. Yes. Well, good. Does she listen to the podcast? Did we not say that was Professor Broomhead the other week? So
we did. Yeah. We did. I mean, but she's witnessed it firsthand. June in December is huge. And no, he wasn't stood next to Leon Hayes at the time.
He's a good note.
And she also... Yeah, she also thinks underneath the stand looks a lot better with all the artwork and stuff like that. Right. But she's not as excited as me about the little cardboard holders for your pies. She didn't really get why I was excited about them. So that was a full review of her night out.
Yeah. My daughter also commented on the light show. She walked past as I was watching it on the big screen, and she said, "What the fuck is that?" and just walked off.
Well, she did. She did want to know: has anyone had an actual fit yet?
Well, Daniel doesn't like it. Daniel hates it. Daniel's. He said it's not good for him. So I think anyone who's autistic, you want to take a pair of sunglasses with you.
I have to say now, in all seriousness, when you're there and caught up in the moment and there's some excitement, I do feel it's a bit of a party atmosphere or whatever. But when you watch it back on the TV and you can't see who the hell, it just looks... It doesn't come across on the TV at all.
No. I give it another 5 weeks and someone will swallow a tongue after a try when those lights go off.
Okay. Do you want the boring bit that I was actually there and watching the rugby then? So for the second home game in a row, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
It was a second,
isn't it? Is the vibe good then, Sam, at the moment? Is it quite a good vibe there?
And Lee in the cup game and Wigan last Friday brought away fans, and it always adds to a bit of atmosphere as well, doesn't it? And it was a tight game, 2 weeks in a row with tight games in the first half. The opposition threatened to come back, and then we pulled away in the last 20 minutes in both games.
Right, there you go. Stats then? I could do some stats if that helps.
Well, I've got some notes on a post-it. Oh, lovely. I'd like to just lovely. Sort of okay. touch on some significant points that I picked up today. Jay Field, I'd actually seen him the week before. He's shit. He's not playing very well at the moment. So he was always poor. Wigan were generally poor. Nesemba has gone missing for the last few weeks. He's not really sort of wanting to get interested. I noticed Ewan Irwin actually... Ewan Irwin.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. He tackled Nesemba 6 times, round the legs, every time, brought him down, which I thought
was pretty
good.
How many times did I tackle him? Well, can you take me out of the sentence, please, then, if you're going to talk about...
Sorry. Irwin tackled Nesemba 6 times and brought him down. And I thought that was pretty good in terms of defence. Because, like, you know, I think you've been really critical of you and Irwin. I'm here over the last few weeks. Oh, have you? Oh, okay. The other thing, a point of note as well, is Thomas is the invisible man. You know, he's played for us a few times and I haven't noticed him. And that's not to say anything on his performance. I've just never noticed him on the pitch. So I think he was played a good show, but he didn't really sort of stand out. You know, he's not noticeable, is he? What did you think?
To be fair, I didn't know he played. I'm just looking at meters now.
So that works.
But he did. He made 41 meters. 41 meters.
Visible man.
Eight carries. Do you want me to do the stats?
What's his first name?
Mark.
Nope.
Oh. What year is it?
Has anyone ever passed the ball? I'll just go back. If we go back to who can pass a ball, Mark Thomas could pass a ball, right? He really could. Remember that ball he used to throw out? And the game that we discussed only a few weeks ago, when we got to the Challenge Cup final against Wigan, whatever year it was, and we lost in the final, we played the Central Park game. He throws an absolute belting ball to Mark Forster to score in the corner to win that game. Do you remember the ball he threw?
I do. Yeah.
I also remember, I think it was Hunslet. Hunslet were top of the, whatever it would have been called then, the second division. And they came to play us in a Challenge Cup game. And it was in the mud. And no one had scored. It was absolutely... we just couldn't get on top of them the whole game. And Phil Blake threw a ball out from under the sticks in the last minute to the right wing. I don't know who ran in to score it, but again, incredibly long pass. Kevin Ellis could throw a long ball, couldn't he? He was another one from the scrum that would throw that ball. Kelly Shelford could throw a long ball. Anyone you want to add to it, Sam? Any other long ball throwers? I've got four there.
Initially, I thought you were just talking about forwards. I was trying to think of some.
I mean, initially, I was talking
forwards.
About what his first name was, but we've gone off on a real big tangent here.
I don't think there's any. I think I've got the big four there, haven't I? Ellis, Thomas, Kelly Shelford, and that other one I mentioned who I now can't remember.
Anyway, it's Luke Thomas, Dennis, and he started the game.
Yeah. I think he's only young, isn't he? What is he, about 19 or something? He's a young lad.
No. He's a bit older than that. 20, okay. 21, I think.
Looking at the stats, possession. Now, take these stats with a pinch of salt, right? Possession, Warrington 56%, Wigan 44%. However, on the Super League website, Warrington had a completion rate, and still do, of 105%.
I thought they'd completed a couple of Wigan sets or something. I thought they'd, you know. Can we believe these stats?
No.
Because there's a few other things in there.
No, you can't believe them. Yes, Sam.
Maybe they've included you and Irwin both times. So we're actually got 14 men. I mean.
You and Irwin. That's why I'm. So have I only done 5%? Oh.
Yes. Yes,
the entire game. Meters, I just pipped Wigan 1298 compared to 1294. However, I've circled it again. Post contact meters average gain, yet again, we are down. Not by a lot. We're 2.5 there, 2.59. It's a stat we just cannot win. Tackles, Curry led the way again, 39 tackles. Stone again on 35 tackles. This time he ran a little bit more. He ran for 51 meters. Walker also put in a shift, 32 tackles, 10 carries, 77 metres. So he's suddenly back on form, Dennis. You've mentioned the last few weeks he's not been seen in attack.
Yeah, he seemed to have a bit of a free rein in that match. He was back to his normal self.
And again, I don't think stats always tell the true story of a game, because my man of the match was Bentley. I thought Bentley was everywhere. I thought he had a terrific game. He also put a couple of belting balls out as well. Yeah, he's only run for 35 metres. He's the lowest out of all the forwards. Byrne, a bit disappointing, 37 metres. Our starting props are not making too many metres, Sam. Again, we've got four guys, all backs, out in front on the metres. Ashton, 158. Hopewati, 145. Foulis, 130. And King, 115.
And that's a reflection of our style. A lot of teams do it now, but our backs are taking the first three or four hits.
Don't you think it'd be just nice, though, just to see one of them getting there at some point? One of the forwards just have a standout game and run for over 100 metres. But it's not happening this year at all. I thought that, again, Foulis was outstanding. I think he is just, and the fact he signed a long-term contract is brilliant. I think he's a terrific player. And for me, he's the number one. I'd play him at number one. I think he's wasted on the wing. Or, as a few suggestions I've seen on social media, is there a possibility of moving him into the halves? Would he make, you know, would he be better in the halves? I'm sure he could play there. I just think he's wasted on the wing.
Did he not throw a pass out to no one in that match? I think he did.
I don't know. He's enthusiastic. Again, on that point, the field at the back. I mean, what's the point? He didn't try against when Foulis scored that try. He's got to wrap him up right and fall onto his back and hope he smothers the ball. But just to sort of be pushed off like that, that was... Yeah, he's not the same player when he's not got the big pack moving forward around him and he hasn't got Bevan French out there with him. Just a little one on you and Irwin. Couldn't catch their winger, could he?
I thought that was Thulis's fault. Thulis came over as fullback and for some reason just carried on flying past. I think everybody thought he was going to tackle, and Curry and you and Irwin both slowed up, and then all of a sudden he was away.
All I'm saying is I got a lot of criticism for Irwin's fast. Irwin is not fast. He's okay. Would John Woods have caught that winger? Absolutely. He's fast, he's quick, he's a great player, but he's not electrically quick.
Critical. We got any, come on, fire back, Sam. Fire back with a defence.
Well, a defence specifically of Irwin. I'm going to wrap it up in a slightly different way. I too, Rob, thought Thewlett was outstanding. And the way I'm watching us now, when we're at home, we look a real strong team. I've got some stats that I was going to use later on, but let me tell you about them now, and see whether you you recognise this in the game. I think we're actually playing quite a conservative brand of football in some ways. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at the stats across the whole of Super League, for tackle busts, for tackle breaks, i.e. potentially forwards getting through the line or whatever, we're 13th out of 14. Only Castleford have got fewer breaks than us. Leeds are way out on top with more than 100, with 100 more breaks than us. And offloads, we're 13th in the league. So we're not offloading the ball. We're not breaking tackles. Yet on the flip side, we are second in clean breaks with 52. And we've played a game fewer. We have the fewest missed tackles.
Lots of fewest and fews in here, isn't there? Are you practicing your fewless? Go on.
Yeah, I have been. We have the least the least errors across the league, and we're second on penalty conceded. So we're clean, and I feel, again, if I'm looking at the Wigan game and looking at the prior game against Lee, I feel we're playing quite a conservative, tight brand of rugby to begin with. And almost like our fitness and our clean game is then helping us pull away towards the back end. Of course, it failed against Catalans when they got a head of steam up. But overall, I think we're playing a real tight game, and it's then helping Thewlis. It's helping Irwin. I'm not quite getting the love for Snead, though.
I saw that. You were a bit of a Snead hater on Friday. Can I just say also, on Friday, I mean, I know you're with Mrs. Sankey on Friday night, but on the What Bevan group, you posted a few messages, and you had a potty mouth. Yes. You had a potty mouth, ooh. Sam.
Did he?
I was very disappointed. Very disappointed.
That's because I couldn't shout those words out because Mrs. Yeah. Sankey was next to me. So with Snead, I'm not doubting. I actually saw at the game his organising of the team. Mm. Great credit for that. He organised that team, no problem. And I saw it again when I watched some of it back on TV. But his last tackle plays, I feel, are very negative and very...
He's kicking to the corner for Toby King. He's read the Steve Price manual.
But when Irwin got hold of the ball on the few occasions, he put speed on the ball. He put speed on the attack.
Yes, yeah. Well, he is 25 years younger.
So I just feel Irwin, particularly over these coming weeks, because he's presumably going to get a longer run, does need to... push himself forward a bit more, which is something I think Burgess talked about.
Yes, I like a lot of the things Burgess is saying. I agree with him. Hard for an 18-year-old kid, though, right? He sort of tried to push it at Leeds and it went a bit tits up for him.
Yes, he did. Yes, agreed.
Give him a bit of time. But do you not think they complement each other?
They could do. I just want...
Who? You and Irwin and Snead?
The three of us.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I felt that we were dominating so much, it was time for a killer blow, not just a repeating of the...
Well, I think Snead was benefiting from Bentley running around like a rabid dog.
He was everywhere.
We said the other week, didn't we, that in some respects he's protected in the defence a bit by Bentley running around like a complete rabid dog. He went from one side of the pitch to the other.
I saw that. Did you see that? I saw that at one point. He was over on the left corner, and then the next thing, he's down in the right corner. I was like, Christ. I also like Dennis. He hasn't got one of those silly haircuts. He's just let his hair
flail. He's got a lot of hair. Yeah. I like that. And I was quite surprised why he wasn't at the top of the tackle count, because he seemed to be in every fucking tackle on that game. So,
It might actually be because he moved out to centre, didn't he, in the second half when we had a bit of a reshuffle.
But he was playing left and right centre at one point.
Yeah.
just on Snead, I mean, I'm looking at his stats here. So he's carried the ball 8 times for 5 metres. His average gain is 0.62 metres. I shit further than that.
You do. Yeah. Had a couple of them explosive events, haven't you?
I'm getting a lot of abuse. I mean, no one really uses social media anymore, do they? Like I mean, Twitter, whatever it's called now, has just completely died, right? Like, we don't really get anything on it. I can't be asked posting on there anymore. It's just really fallen away. But when I put stats up, I get just a torrent of abuse every time. But yeah. Someone did write, Stuart Warburton wrote, "Not a chance on God's green earth, Philbin made 79 metres. And I have to agree with him.
I know. I look at some of these average gains here, and it seems to be all topsy-turvy. We've got Stone, Byrne and Curry down at the bottom, and then you've got Crowther, Philbin and Tanganoa at the top. It's just
well, there's been
sense.
a couple of weeks where there's been 40-20s and the Super League haven't, they've just said it's zero, and it's like there's been two in that game. Yeah. And there's just who is doing the stats, who is sitting in the stands?
You say this every year. Do we not know who does it? God, it's terrible.
Have they shipped it out to the partially blind or something? Are we trying to support some kind of organisation? What's going on here?
I noticed in this game, Sam, I don't know what you felt like when you were watching it, but there were hardly any six agains this week. We were talking about it last week, about six agains. Yeah. There wasn't hardly any. I think there was two or three at most. It was free-flowing.
And I haven't, because obviously I can't be asked, because I no longer bother with statistics. I haven't looked whether there's a stat anywhere. It might be worth a Google. Yes. Which referees are giving the six agains, and whether it's a personality thing. But you're right, it didn't seem to be much in the way of getting
in with a haircut.
Can I just interrupt, please? Mrs. London's about to go to work. Oh, lovely, okay, darling. Okay. Have a lovely day. You want to come on camera for a second? No? Got to go.
No.
Turn your tracker on.
Just for the listener, we really don't think there's anybody there, Rob, just talking to the empty room. Just some other things I want to just pick up on. Ewan Irwin, again, I noticed that they were making a big sort of song and dance about the pass inside that he did to Fulis to get that try. I have noticed, actually, a couple of the other little sort of, how would you call it, tells, if you like, when he's running at the line. He's got this sort of little feint, if you like, where he's holding the ball close to his chest and he extends it out just briefly as though he's like going to sort of drop it on his foot, or, you know, he pushes it out to the defence and pulls it back quick and then passes out. It's almost like a spasm pass. I've coined it.
Hang on. Look in the PC manual. I'm not sure we can use the word spasm.
Well, I have a spasm. Can anybody else use spasm every time? Of course you can. It's a spasm's just a...
Hang on, like I'm looking that up.
A twitch. Anyway, I do think it's quite effective because obviously as a half...
Can only be used in the playoffs.
What about Challenge Cup? Can we use that?
Yep, Challenge Cup's fine. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep. Anyway, I think it's quite effective. It's certainly sort of like got the defence looking at him, don't know what he's going to do, because he's got quite a quick technique, hasn't he, throwing that ball out. And
so
I think
we've
really
moved on
effective.
From Deck Patton's stutter pass to Ewan Irwin's spasm pass.
Correct. Yes. Yes. Just get that in there.
I've looked up who's doing the stats. I found them. Oh. It's an organisation. Apparently they're called Peters and Lee. So,
yes, excellent picture there you just showed us. Any comment on Kai Taylor-Ray's fitness, Rob? Have you got anything to say on that? He got I wrote it down, 22 minutes he was injured, another 2 minutes he got injured again, and then eventually he went off.
God love him, he tried to carry on. They were putting a bandage around his ankle bigger than the one that Adam Fogarty used to wear on his arm. Did you notice that? But how many times are they going to wrap that round? I mean, he tried.
He went into heavy traffic and he got absolutely crumpled and he got up limping from it. So I don't know whether it was an impact injury rather than actually pulled something. I've not seen any news on it yet, if anyone else has.
Not good. I had a what happened to me? I pulled a hamstring in B&Q on Thursday.
Jeez. Is it a recent one? After your flurry of slipping on your ass, falling on your backside?
I said I'd oil the deck. So I was going to oil the deck and I needed a little reservoir to hold the oil in, which I'd forgotten. So I went back in and it's called Bunnings in Australia, but it's equivalent to B&Q. And I had to go up a huge escalator, you know, these long escalators, but it wasn't work. It was a flat one. You go, but it wasn't working. So all of a sudden I thought I was on Gladiators. I was on the Travelator and I've started running up it and I've done something in my right thigh. Absolutely. It's like ripped up into the back of my anus. I don't know what muscle you call that.
Careful, because I've got a little story.
Pardon?
Yeah. A hamstring and not
sciatica. It's sort of it's a hamstring that goes into an anal spasm. I did it about 10 metres up.
You'll enjoy tackle bags today. I've got something on that. I did notice actually about three players were wearing sort of like cycling shorts or supports around the hamstrings for Warrington.
They're coming back in, aren't they? They were a big thing, remember? Like Tony Thornley used to wear them. They all used to wear them at one point, didn't they? And then they stopped wearing those. Have you ever worn those when you played sport? You ever had a pair of those on?
Yeah, I felt when my cock got tied.
Honest to God, I wore them. I had a thigh strain when I was playing football for Killarney, and I wore them for about four or five games. I couldn't tell what gender I was when I took them off.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like that, yeah. At Killarney, that wasn't Cologne.
Let's have a listen to Jenna Brooks flirting with Sam Burgess.
Ooh.
Sam Burgess, that was quite the blockbuster match.
Yeah, it was a really tough game. I thought, obviously, we're going to miss in some really key players as well as we are. But I thought it was a tough game. The first half was gritty. We lacked a bit of composure early, but we found it in the second half. You know, I was really pleased with the team, especially we lost Kai again tonight, so we had to shuffle around again, but we handled it well. We're getting used to it.
How is Kai?
Yeah, I don't know. Looking at him sometimes, you think he's on his last breath, but he's okay. He's a tough kid and he's learning at this level. It's physical and week in, week out, it's very hard. But we'll reassess. We'll see how he is over the next couple of days.
The word proud was mentioned at halftime to me from your dressing room. What, at full-time, are you proudest of?
No, I mean, all of them, really. I was really proud of them, the way they defended for each other. I thought they came tonight. We're a bit disappointed with the way we defended last week, so I'm happy the way that they turned up for each other and kept competing hard, because Wigan have got some great players and the challenges at times.
A word on you and Owen, because pre-match we found out that George, not your brother, he's not playing
in the house over here.
George Williams.
I think he's too busy making movies at the minute.
I actually saw her. Anyway, we'll go there later. George Williams won't be playing for some time, but you and Owen, I mean, he had some fantastic touches.
Yeah, I thought he can assert himself on the game a bit more. You know, I think there's parts of his game where he's just feeling it, and it's no bigger test for him, but he's a wonderful player. He's only 18, and, you know, we've got to be patient with him, but, you know, we can see the bits of class that he has. He takes his moments well. I think I'm asking him to have a few more and get on the ball a little bit more, but his confidence now will grow over the next few months. But I thought defensively he was very good against Nsemba, who's, he's a hard guy to tackle.
Certainly is. Sam, congratulations. Say hi to your brother for me.
Yeah, thanks. Cheers, guys.
Hi, bro.
Just can't help herself, can she? Hey, giggle, giggle. Okay.
What did he say of significance?
I can't remember now. I've not listened to it. I've just had a drink of coffee.
So you'll have to fill me. For God's sake. I can't remember either.
I have got something, actually. We just touched before on, when reading out the team, it was Philbin's 200th appearance as a substitute, apparently. He broke the record for coming off the bench. So I had a look at other, you know, famous substitutions or replacements.
Got ginger hair.
Oh, replacements. Okay.
You're going to say the one from Liverpool, aren't you? What was his
name?
Yeah.
Graham Fairclough.
Was it Graham? I don't think it was Graham. Wasn't it
David?
Who's Graham Fairclough?
Ian Fairclough.
No, David.
No, Fairclough. David.
David.
The top one, I've only put one sport in, one down. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Teddy Sheringham both scored as substitutes in the 1999 Champions League final. So it was only when I wrote it down that I realised his name's Teddy Sheringham. I always thought he was Terry Sheringham. So here's a good one. I didn't know this one. Harrison Ford came on as a sub. He replaced Tom Selleck as Indiana Jones in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was originally going to be Tom Selleck.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
Was he going to sort of be like Magnum PI when he was going to do it? Was that the way he was going to do it? Or
I think I would have preferred him, actually.
I've got a bit of a Tom Selleck shirt on today, actually, just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox was substituted in for Eric Stoltz in Back to the Future. Filming had already started when they brought him in. They were that unhappy with Eric, and he just faded into obscurity, did Eric, after that. Poor guy. Graham Norton, he got his big break. Jack Doherty was missing from the Jack Doherty show on Channel 4, and Graham Norton stood in for him and went on and won the BAFTA of the year for it, whatever he got, and that's how Norton got his big break on. Ringo Starr substituted in for Pete Best in the Beatles.
Pete Best, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And Dave Grohl replaced Chad Channing in Nirvana. So.
Did Paul McCartney get replaced by a lookalike?
In like 90? So,
yes.
Oh, he's been down that algorithm on YouTube, haven't you? Oh,
yes.
Yes, yes. Winston Churchill came off the bench for Neville Chamberlain during World War II. King George VI replaced Edward VIII after his abdication. That's a little bit like Psychic Steve, isn't it? Because he's abdicated to Hull. So it'll be interesting to see who we bring in there.
Yeah.
Marathon became Snickers in 1990.
Yeah.
Oh God, that long ago. Wow.
That used to be my favourite gag. I can't. When I do that gag now, no one knows it. I once entered a marathon once. My cock got covered in peanuts and chocolate.
Ah, nice.
Dave Lee Travis. Do you know who he was replaced by? Do you know who came in to replace Dave Lee Travis?
Jimmy Savile.
Simon Mayo came in. But the best one I could find, and I think this is by far, and it actually mentions substitute in it, is Fawlty Towers. After they put rat poison on the veal to catch Manuel's rat, Basil declares it's a veal substitute when serving it.
Do you remember
where it was from, the veal? Anyone, any idea what it's from?
No. Go on.
Norwegian.
Should know that. That's a quiz question right there, isn't it?
Oh my God, what's the matter? One of them's got rat poison on it. Sorry. Veal's off, sorry.
That's veal?
No, this is a veal substitute. We're giving it a try, and it's a bit of a disappointment, I'm afraid. In fact, it's no substitute at all. Polly, would you take the order again, please?
It's 10 to 1. I'd like to take lunch here, if I may.
Oh, certainly, Mr. Carnegie.
I couldn't help noticing you had some veal over here.
Veal?
Yes, it's Dutch.
Well, it's not Dutch, actually. It's Norwegian.
Norwegian?
Yes, not the absolute apex, quite honestly.
Terry, the veal is Dutch, isn't it?
Norwegian, Mrs. Fawlty.
I've been in this business 20 years. I've never heard of Norwegian veal.
No, well, they've only just branched into it, you know. I don't think it's a winner, frankly. You know, more of a veal substitute. It's got a lot of air pockets in it, that sort of thing. The lamb is Dutch.
Dutch?
Well, English. I mean, we call it Dutch because it's as good as the veal. It's better, quite honestly.
Well, I prefer the veal.
Yes, how about lobster? Would you prefer lobster? A couple of lobsters? Oh, it's frightfully good at the moment. It's not expensive this week. We've got so much for having a bit of a lobster sale at the moment. Try and shift it all.
Super League results round 9. Lee 30, Huddersfield 16, York 38, Toulouse 14, Castleford 10, Hull 50, Psychic Steve effect taking effect. Leeds 46, Catalans 4, Bradford 12, Hull KR 48, and St Helens just pipped Wakefield 18-12. It means that Warrington are now in third place on 12 points, out in front of Leeds on 14. St Helens also have 14. Below Wire, Wakefield also have 12. Then we've got two teams on 10, in Wigan in fifth, Catalans in six. We then have three teams on 8 points, Hull KR, Hull and Lee. York are in 10th on six. Bradford are in 11th on 6th, Castleford are in 12th on 6th, and then two teams both on 4 points, Huddersfield in 13th, Toulouse at the bottom. I thought those results were quite predictable. A few that stood out for me were, how on earth do Catalans beat us 1 week and then lose by 42 points to Leeds?
Yes.
What's going on there?
Don't know.
And Hull, what, Cartwright's gone or just Castleford a shit? Castleford 10, Hull 50. Or is it Sidekick Steve now he's having his influence over there as well?
Do you think that will happen? Do you think he'll actually have one eye on Hull? Or
of course
do you
he
think
will.
He's...
Of course he will. I mean, he's already at home with a notebook, isn't he, making out his team for next year? Of course he is.
Going back to what Cal said on that podcast the other day, he said, no, he's with us. He's going to make... He's be with us to the end of the season. He's fully committed to Warrington. So, shouldn't have. But, I mean, it doesn't look good, does it, in terms of what Hull have got to look forward to with Cartwright being as he is. Is Cartwright gone now, or is he still going to stay there?
I think he has
gone. Yes, he's gone.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll be at Warrington next year?
No, I saw him with a massive pizza box in Stockton Heath in about 1997. That's all I've got on that.
97? No, is it?
I think it was 97, something like that. Yeah. 95, when he was playing for Salford. I don't know where he was living, but we lost to Salford in a game. It was a weekend game, and then I saw him with a massive pizza box.
Excellent. Let's pull this round. That's fucking shit. Perhaps what we should do on our next episode, because we'll be 10 games in, we should have a 10-game review, because I think that's my point of the season where you can start to, you know, get an idea of the teams, who are the shakers and movers, because you look at the bottom now and the ones that came up are struggling, and where we are as well, where we predicted we'd be in the table. So I think let's do a round 10 in-depth review.
Okay. If I've not finished my review of Wigan, but I will link it in with my predictions a bit later.
Oh, all right. From the mastermind point of view, I think, where are we on that? Have we got any right?
Mastermind tabs, Dennis has one tab in the right place in Leeds. Sam also has one tab in the right place in Hull. I have no tabs in any places. Our combined table that we did, which, you know, we put all our loss together and came out with the averages, also has no tabs in any right places.
Jesus. It might, maybe now's not the time, but I did actually get some mastermind facts, you know, the game.
Yes.
The mastermind was invented in 1970. It sold 30 million copies of it in that decade.
Wow.
So it got totally sort of flooded the game world. The national championship was played at the Playboy Club. It got
there was
popular.
A national championship. Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Muhammad Ali was a big fan as well.
Right.
Australian military used it for training. So it was quite a sort of intelligence work, I suppose.
I might go out and buy it and play it with my two little ones, I think.
Yes.
I think they'd enjoy
80%
it.
80% ownership in Denmark. So that was the thing. You know, I know what you're going to ask me next. Who are the two people on the pitch?
Well,
one of the
people on the pitch.
Yes, I know. Well, he's Bill
dead,
Woodward.
Right? He's dead for sure.
Yes, he is. 2013. Bill Woodward, he was a computer science student at University of Leicester. He also had a chain of hair salons, and they called him Mr. Teasy Weezy. Don't know what that meant.
Is he wearing a white jacket? Has he got a white jacket?
No, but I will reference the article in a minute, but he did say that he had some piss stains on his crotch because they tried to have him with a cat and the cat pissed on him. But he didn't come out in the photograph.
Well, like a Bond villain.
Yes, basically. The lady in the photo is Cecilia Fung. She's now works in the banking world, and she's got some houses in Essex or something. This is genuine. I tell you what, if you want to go and have a look at it, vice.com, there's a whole story, and it keeps going on and on and on. There's so much to that story about
any strategies in what colours you put down first. Like if you are, I would always, you know, I was a bit silly. I'd always put like four green in or something when I was, when I was hiding behind that little thing. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. The pictures, you know, were supposed to portray or evoke a bit of sexual tension And
really?
It was, yeah, and it was played in like private parties and things like that. So I think
back then, you'd try and get any titillation as a young boy, wouldn't you? And I basically, all I had was that. And my mum used to get a big like catalogue, and I'd go through the lingerie section. Mm. And that was, and then there'd be Miss Warrington in the Guardian.
Is this just a list of Mr. London's wank pictures from the 1970s and 80s? Oh, dear. Should we move on?
Oh, God. Why was it always, right? You know, like if you saw a magazine by the side of the road, you always thought it was like, didn't you? You'd always almost like pull over to have a look, just on the off, just the 1% chance it was.
My early days of litter picking, that was.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Good news we'll start with first, and Josh Thewlis has committed his future to Wire, signing a new deal that will keep him at the Halliwell Jones until the end of 2030. The 23-year-old Academy graduate already has 2 years remaining on his contract, but has extended his stay in what he described as a no-brainer. That's ironic. What a signing. Good signing. I'm really pleased with this signing. Yeah? Yeah? Mm. I thought he was going to be a really solid player, but I think he's turning into one of the greats. He could do. I mean, his best years are ahead of him, but certainly this year he's stepped up, right? He's been outstanding.
I think partially it's because it seems like he's been around forever, and yet he's still only 23.
Yeah,
you know, and I think partially is that. So when you think about it, he should be coming into his prime now, between 23 and 28.
Yeah.
So, like it all goes well, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a fabulous signing, absolutely fabulous. Dennis, you big fan of Josh Thewlis?
Yeah, I think he's a good fella, isn't he? I think Well, I mean, you know, we've got Ashton. I like Ashton. You know, I'm a big fan of Ashton. But I agree with you. It's almost becoming on par with what I think about Ashton. So, yeah,
I think it's fun that we've got Josh Thewlis, Ashton, and Ewan Irwin. They're four great signings.
Yeah. I can't wait for you to read the next bit, and then we'll talk about the next signing.
More injury concerns now, with both George Williams and James Harrison reporting to Matron. Williams suffered a neck injury in the loss to Catalans, which will require surgery. Burgess describing the captain's recovery time as indefinite, raising the possibility he may have played his final game for Warrington ahead of his NRL move to the Dolphins. Harrison also picked up an injury in France and is expected to be sidelined for 8 to 10 weeks.
So it's the last time we've probably seen Williams, I think. To be fair, you know, with a neck injury, you probably have to be careful with that. So don't blame him for that. But then the James Harrison thing, we've offered him a contract at this point. Now he's got injured. I know we've got an extension, but would you do that with the risk of not knowing whether he's going to be able to fulfil that extension in full fitness? It's a bit of an unknown, isn't it?
It is, but I think it's an option on an existing contract, as far as I remember. I don't think it's offered a brand new contract. But he'll be a miss 8 to 10 weeks. It's one thing when you're out 3 to 4 weeks, but up to 10 weeks, that's going to be a big miss for us when we're already looking to share the load amongst our props rather than have one or two who are outstanding. It means everyone else got to shoulder this bit more responsibility.
Yeah, Rob, you don't rate him. What do you reckon?
I just, honest to God, when I read the news, I just thought it was an absolute tragedy. All week I've been pretty down about this. I just think we've lost an absolutely brilliant player who was right at the top of his game. But that's enough about Harrison. What do we think about Williams?
Well, he's played his last game.
Is this something? I mean, could the operation not wait? Could he not? Or it's an Alex Walmsley neck injury, apparently. I mean, Walmsley was out for a long, long time. I just wonder whether he'll be back for the Dolphins, like at the start of the season. He'll miss preseason them, right? Like they must be also thinking. Look, it's happened. We haven't really. I mean, he's got his advocates, and you know, people also that were not particularly. I've never had a problem with Williams. I just had a problem with what we're paying him. That's what I think. I just don't think he's worth the money that they're paying him. I think the money could be spent more wisely on a marquee player than George Williams. So you and Irwin have got to step up. And if the both of you come to the fore, you'll be fine.
I agree.
Harrison, we spoke about Harrison again. He's not Chris Hill. Harrison is Harrison. He gets injured
a lot, right?
Yeah. We are definitely lacking forwards now, though. I think in some regards, Harrison is a bigger loss than Williams. Because I think we've got other alternatives in the halves. Whereas Harrison was a dependable person that we needed in the front row or second row, wherever we're going to play him these days.
I think that's what makes this week's match really difficult because Wigan are shit at the moment and our forwards who we would consider the off-the-bench forwards or the second-rate forwards or whatever, have shown good stats against a really shit Wigan team. And you know, is that going to be able to keep us sustained against some good teams in the next few weeks? Possibly not.
I always think Harrison could get a part as like an extra in a World War II film. You know, like when they're leaving the beach, you know, they're all getting evacuated off the beach. He could just be in the background with a couple of bandages on. And he's, you know, he just, don't you think he almost looks like he's from the 1940s. I always think that.
He looks injured when he's completely fit.
He's made his way through the whole of France and he's just at Berlin. He looks absolutely fucked. So there we go. England have confirmed Brian McDermott as their new head coach ahead of this autumn's Rugby League World Cup. The former Leeds Rhinos boss has been appointed on a short-term basis through to the end of the tournament, which will be held across Australia, New Zealand and Papua New Guinea. McDermott will take on the role alongside his current position as assistant coach with the Gold Coast Titans. I actually almost missed this. There wasn't an article on the BBC about this. There was an article on another story which bled into this story. I think it was about the kid who runs around at Leeds saying that he's possibly could come back into the England fray. But the story wasn't about McDermott. I thought that was disappointing that we can't even cover that. We can't even put that as a headline story on the BBC. I found that poor.
It seemed a very low-key announcement, didn't it?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Oh, come on. Who really gives a shit about our bloody England coach? No one watches it shit anyway. Everyone's gone on holiday. I'll give it up till the next year.
Really?
Yeah, they have. It's just, we don't make a good big deal about it.
Don't mention coach
It won't become an issue until the NRL take over and then make a big issue of it. Because no, the Australians aren't interested in it. They just come over, get pissed, lose the first match, win the next two.
It's not here, though, is it? It's in Australia.
It's over there.
Is it? Oh, well, who cares? Are you going to go, Rob?
Oh, I don't know if it's in it. They probably won't hold that many games in Sydney. We'll probably play Lebanon in Sydney or something. That's normally what we do.
He's already making his excuses. I'm going off on one and he's already making his excuses. Is it the Lebanon?
Lebanon. You notice how I didn't say the Lebanon. It was very good there, wasn't I? Yeah.
Sam?
Brian Noble says the Lebanon. Sorry.
It's all right. They're playing down at Wynn. Is it Wynn Stadium where Illawarra?
Down in Wollongong, right? Okay, they're playing one down there, are they? Oh, that's great. So they're not even playing it at the National Stadium.
Right. This is the England game.
See what I mean?
One of the England games.
Playing at Wollongong. Right. That's a fucking great night out, that is.
Top local insight there.
Fucking hell. We've got two heads. Right, okay. I think that's... Oh, we've got one more breaking news story, if I can just find it. A few players have been inducted into the Hall of Fame. Just bear with me a second. Can't remember who they were. We've had Toey Coey Love, John Clark, Des Drummond, Ted Warren, and Ebenezer England all being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I think he played in the first ever team, Ebenezer.
Ebenezer. Mm.
Okay.
He one of the Zingari, was he?
Oh,
sorry.
Completely lost Dennis and I there.
Yeah.
Far too cultural reference.
Can you play the test card?
The next programme on BBC One, Songs of Praise, follows at 3:15 after a trade test transmission.
Kicking off the second half of my countdown in 15th place is Chris Hicks. The Australian back joined ahead of the 2008 season and was a key part of Tony Smith's revolution. Though he only stayed for three seasons, he more than made an impact with 71 tries and 145 goals in his 82 appearances. Hicks was a major factor in arguably Wire's most flawless performance of the modern era in the 2010 Challenge Cup final, scoring a stunning hat-trick in the demolition of Leeds. His most iconic moment might be the try to win that famous semi-final against Wigan the year before, though. One of Wire's best overseas recruits, undoubtedly. Moving on now to 14th, where I have Ryan Atkins. Another try-scoring menace, the former Wakefield player holds the record of being the club's top scorer in the Super League era and the Halliwell Jones top scorer too. Between 2010 and 2019, the Englishman made 273 appearances and scored a remarkable 168 tries for Warrington. My favourite moment from Atkins will always be the try at Hull, stealing the ball and helping Wire win the league leader shield. It is only the decline in Atkins' passing and defence in his final few seasons that prevents him from being even higher here. Me, 13 may be an unlucky number for some, but in position 13 I have the wonderful Gareth Carvell. The prop played 135 times for Wire and was part of a formidable front row that was instrumental in Wire becoming one of the most competitive teams in the league for a period. The forward cost £55,000 from Hull FC in 2008 and was worth every penny. In his 5 years at the club, he won three Challenge Cups, a league leader shield, and made two grand finals as well. We're getting close to the top 10 now. Stay tuned for next time.
Well, Daniel's come up with Chris Hicks, Ryan Atkins, and Gareth Carvell. Hmm. Okay.
Yes, I agree with his comments about all three, but it's the way he's coming up with the order that's really interesting, isn't it? I would have to have Carvell at 13 ahead of some of the other some of the other players he's mentioned.
Is this like the Morecambe and Wise sketch with Andre Previn? I'm playing all the right word, the right notes, but not necessarily in the right order. Is that what he's doing here?
Mr. Preview. I like
this because it's just a challenge for us to try and remember. So
I've sat on my balls. I need to get up just a sec.
You want to wear them cycling shorts that they've got at the club.
The most common first name is Chris. It's appeared three times in Daniel's run. Riley, Hicks and Bridge. Total vowels across all full names is 85 now. Roughly 43% of the letters. The most vowels in one name is Toa Koe Love. He's got seven vowels in just 11 letters, which is incredible. Excellent. He's also the only hyphenated name amongst his list. Henry Fiafili is the only name with an apostrophe. And the least vowels is Brent Gross with only three. Oh, and also Martin Gleeson is an anagram of enormous genital. So,
excellent. Very good. Yeah, that's excellent work. I mean, I've just noted down that Carvel, who we mentioned, he was a good front row with Morley, and that's what won us a lot. Chris Hicks also was part of that Challenge Cup era, wasn't he? Ryan Atkins, though, I had a bad memory of Ryan Atkins, but I think Daniel mentions it and says, like, the last two seasons, his defence was pretty shit, but he scored a shitload of tries, though, didn't he?
He did. More than he did.
I mentioned Cartwright and his massive pizza box. I saw Chris Hicks in Sydney driving a really shit car.
Really?
I think it was him. I can't actually 100% say it was. This bloke in a car went past me who looked like Chris Hicks, and it was really shit.
Really good evidence.
What's all that? Oh, Samuel, don't tell me you're trying to turn the HJ scrapyard allotment into a nursery for a chance of a prize in the Chelsea flower show. Oh, why, the last thing you successfully cultivated was fool's gold, and that died even quicker than our top four chances of winning any scrap metal silverware.
Oh, don't be so cynical, Walfo. This is our year. We're going to go for the gold medal award.
A medal? Oh, it'll take more than a tin of Brasso to put a shine on your current coaching.
Oh, we've got everything we need, Walfie. Structure, planning and strong foundations.
Oh, strong foundations? Oh, Samuel. Your back row defence has less structure than a hanging basket in a hurricane. And what's this? What have you planted here? These borders look a bit neglected.
That's because Dad's kicked Steve Gunwell for. He's been poached.
Poached? By who? The Royal The Royal Horticultural Society, or Hull FC.
He's heading over to Humberside, Walfie, to work on Marla's garden.
Oh, rag and bone my arse. So we've lost our sidekick gardener to tend to somebody else's bush.
Oh, do you mean Ellen Skelton's?
Oh, tackle sacks, you dirty old man.
No, Ralpho. I meant her Blue Peter garden.
Oh, my apologies, Sammy. I stumbled into that joke quicker than a Super League referee's six again.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Oh, anyway, Samuel, that explains why everything is wilting. The primroses are drooping more than a Benny Westwood boiled sausage baguette has.
We can recover, Ralphie. We just need to prune a few things. You know, reshape the pack.
Oh, prune the pack? Oh, Samuel, the only thing you've trimmed recently is expectations. Besides, every good scrapyard garden has a centrepiece. Where's yours?
Don't worry, Fitz is overseeing it.
Fitz? Oh, Samuel, the only thing that man's ever grown is one dangling earring. Anyway, let's be honest. You're not winning best in show, Samuel. Fitz is barely fit for the compost.
Compost?
Yes. All he talks about is a load of recycled bullshit. Anyway, I must be off. I promised I'd go and have a poke around in Tanya Arnaldo's lady garden.
Okay, so this was right up my street, given I went to Chelsea Flower Show a few years ago. We have a friend who is also an avid listener to the podcast who had his own show garden. Chelsea.
This is the je ne sais quoi. This is the level of listener
this
we
is
have
like,
now.
This is like Basil Fawlty now on about like the clientele. Yeah. Rob loves this. Oh, we've got a listener of Chelsea Flower Show.
I'm loving rag and bone my arse.
That's become a catchphrase, yeah. Hasn't it? Yeah. He sneaks that in every week. Yeah.
However, did we have to finish like that? So I need to read an official statement.
Yeah. Okay.
I would like.
Could you just remind us what the line was?
Can I just say before you read this, Sam? Okay.
Yes.
I sent Dennis the script. This line was not included on the script. He's gone rogue. Okay? Just make that quite clear.
I would like to read this statement on behalf of both Rob and myself.
Thank you, Sammy.
Would like to officially distance ourselves from the makers of this sitcom, from one of the makers of this sitcom. And even though we are contractually obliged to listen to it, and avid gardeners, any listeners to the pod in general can fast forward for 4 minutes and 50 seconds if they don't want to be insulted.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's
Tenko-Gan. Remember the film Tenko? About the Japanese prisoners of war. Well, being an Equity member, and they were filming it in Lancashire, they phone you up and they say, do you want to be an extra? So anyway, I've gone down to the filming of Tenko, and there's me, and they dress us up, you know, as Japanese prisoners of war. There was me and seven thin blokes. And this producer walked up, and he wasn't exactly, you know, a prop forward for Wigan. He said, what are you supposed to be? I said, I'm a Japanese prisoner of war. He said, you must be 17 stone. I said, they only caught me yesterday.
Right, it's time for some tackle gag news. What's been the joke this week in Rugby League? My weekly look at what's gagging in and out of our news feed. into our sports news this week. Well, I thought it was a good idea to send Mr. Sam Sankey a little sort of news item that Sam Burgess was conducting the hype train this week, where an article in the Warrington Guardian quoted him saying that you shouldn't get carried away by the hype express on social media, which was quite apt. The only problem was I sent the article via the Warrington Guardian website. Just 1,000 pop-ups obscured Sam's reading pleasure this week, which is a bit of a joke. So although he did actually order a pair of fluffy slippers after accidentally scrolling, didn't you, Sam? So
when you go on the Warrington Guardian website, is it like, do you go up another level every time you go on it? Because it seems every time I go back, there's more obstacles to avoid. It's like, I'm on like level 56 and I can't see anything now. Yeah, okay.
I'm wondering why that woman who always pops up dating over 50s in Warrington never looks any different.
I don't get
that. Well, it's funny. I was going to ask you both a question, but I was going to say to Sam, what sort of modern things would you like to see on the news, like, you know, as advertised, Sam? What sort
on of the pop-ups? Float your belt?
Yeah.
Artisan bread. Where I can get some produce that... Oh yeah, Vacheron. Yeah, I don't mind a bit of Vacheron. Where you can get some produce, where you can,
I think Sam, understand you need to be on, like, the Cotswolds Weekly or something for that. You're on the Warrington Garden. It's just skank, isn't it? Everything's skank.
Yeah. The point is, it's a fucking joke. Why have a fucking rugby league news is a joke. Every article. I mean, for Warrington, we can't see the fucking news. It's all we see.
You sure,
like,
you don't have to subscribe. They're sort of clicking you now with, you know, subscribe to see this shit.
Where would you click for that? If you could just point me to which part of the screen that's at, I might have a look.
It is an absolute clusterfuck, that page. It is. It is awful. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I can't even get annoyed at the person who's wrote the article because I don't know who's wrote it anymore. It could be Valerie who's selling in a fucking stretch underwear.
When I was back in the UK, my nephew has just finished his, he's done his English degree at Liverpool. He's done very well, and where they're living in Bold, he's applied for the St. Helens local gazette or something.
And St. Helens Star.
Yeah, and the guy wrote a very nice letter back to him and said, I'm the only one here now, it's just me. I write all the articles for the entire paper, or AI, that's it.
AI, I was going to say, him and AI. Jesus, that's how bad it's getting, isn't it?
The way that sounded, there's going to be a vacancy at St. Helens Star very soon because he's probably topping himself. Oh,
Christ. I tell you what, though, I think this is the other thing, is that going back to that NRL thing that we were talking about before, it really needs some decent news on rugby league over here compared to probably what it's like over in Australia. It's on all the time, everywhere, isn't it? Back pages, the lot. I know we've got football, but even so. Pop-up shit. Anyway, help is at hand, and I found a YouTube channel, and I was going to say his name, but it's for patrons only, and I'll tell you the reason why. So YouTube channel, patrons only, who's not only a Wire fan, but is regularly screening the full game so I can watch it, even if I've missed it. And he's an IT wizard who claims he's also able to get rid of adverts on websites. And he quotes the Warrington Guardian saying 90% adverts, 10% news. So even he recognises it as well. He's got tips for helping fans to beat the system and how to record the game yourself with bits of hardware that you can set up yourself. So now I did watch his video, and he was on about, like, well, I want to try and grow my channel, but at the same time, if somebody tells me to stop screening the game. So that's why I didn't really want to give his name out. I don't want him to grow his channel because it's quite handy to go and watch the game sort of thing. So, you can check him out if you're a patron for the podcast.
Who's that Aussie bloke, Dennis, that tried to stream the games through Asia? What's his name?
What's his name? London. He's from London.
Steve Maskard, was it?
Steve.
Yes.
So he found some loophole. He started streaming the games through Asia. Yeah. And then we put a clip up of one of the Warrington tries.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And like straight away, the Fitzy got onto it straight away. And like midway through the game, I get this message from the Warrington media. How have you got this? How have you put this up? And I was like, well, put it up through, you know, this website, you know, like, it's all legal, it's through Asia, etc. And then he got taken down, didn't he? And he got quite
depressed after that, didn't he?
Oh, he said we ruined it for him. We completely ruined his channel. And I thought, what are you fucking going on about? Like the amount of clips that go up for football when someone scores, and we just put one up and it shut the whole thing down. So.
But this is the thing about our media, isn't it? It's just like, it's just ridiculous over there. It's just everywhere. Mm. Anyway, think about this. This week I was sat, wasn't watching the game, but I was reading the paper this week. And we've mentioned in our,
If you when you open the Warrington Guardian, like the paper, the tangible paper, do loads of pop-ups come up? Like those books you used to get as a kid? Some 50-year-old woman come up like saying, I want it, I'm after it. Does it do that or no? Big pair of tits when you just open the paper, pop up.
Just to clarify, this was the I newspaper, and we usually get it for the crossword and the puzzles, so that's it. But this article did catch my eye. We've mentioned the last couple of weeks whether you prefer it up the arse or a finger in the eye. Mm. Now, spare a thought for this Spanish matador who made a comeback this week, and it was reported in the newspaper, and I quote... Famed Spanish bullfighter Jose Antonio Montara de Puglia said he had a rough night in hospital after he was gored during a retirement comeback. The matador's appearance in Seville on Sunday was brought to an excruciating end when a bull headbutted him in the bottom and his horn perforated his rectum. On Instagram, the king of the bullfighters, I do think they should have rewrote that as King of the Ring, revealed that he had undergone 2 hours of surgery for repair to a 4-inch tear in his rectum wall and his sphincter. He said he was upbeat, but his recovery had been rather a rough night. So it seems to be that, you know, having things up your ass seems to be the way to go, Rob. So do you want to reconsider?
Predictions.
Afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two games to predict before the podcast returns. First up, it's a Super League game away this Saturday night against Huddersfield. Kickoff 8 p.m. Then, the following weekend, on the Sunday, we're off to Doncaster as Wyatt take on Hull Kingston Rovers in the Challenge Cup semi-final. The match gets underway at 4 o'clock.
A few numbers for Huddersfield, yes, if you like. So, away at the John Smiths, which is now called the Aku Stadium, 33 games, Wyatt won 19, 57.6%. win rate. And this year, Huddersfield have lost 4 of their 5 games at home. The only win they got was against York. But Warrington have only had 3 games away, losing twice and sneaking a win against York.
Right.
At home, we have conceded 48 points in 5 games. So that's less than 10 per game. Mm-hmm. This is in Super League.
Yes.
But away in those 3 games, we conceded 94, an average of just over 31 per game.
Oh, ouch.
Ooh, these are good statistics.
These are good stats, Sam. I take it all about what I said in the intro. These are good stats. Well done.
Yes, yes. Changed your mind.
Employee of the week.
Thank you.
What about my Matador research?
So after those incisive stats, Sam, where are you edging your bets this week then? What are you going for?
Well, I've got a request London's bookmakers take a standing order from me? I'd like to put £2 every single week.
Yes.
On Josh Thewlis to score first.
Oh, you're putting it in now, are you? Right. It doesn't get you much of a return, Sam. He's only about
No,
eight
it doesn't.
To one.
I'd like to put £2 on him every single week and pick somebody else. Am I allowed to do that?
No.
No, you're really stretching. This is really stretching the bookmakers. Oh. I mean, I'd possibly consider it, but not when you're in debt.
Okay. Okay.
Just like a bad manager.
I'm just trying to win my money back.
Manipulating the What Bevan finances, Dennis. This is out. I take it back. He's not Employer of the Week. It goes to Dennis.
Ah, excellent. This section's shit. I can't imagine anybody wants to listen to us putting bets on anyway. Can you? It's like the England job.
Well, I did ask him what his bet was, and he's still not come up with it.
I know.
Still...
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Warrington to win. Sorry. Go on, Dennis.
He's going to edit this. He's look, set him off right at the last minute. God. Go on.
Just one of you can tell me the betting.
Yeah, it is. £10 Liam Byrne and £2 Warrington win.
£5 Warrington win and £5 Josh Thewlis.
I'll go £1 on Warrington. And I'll have £20 on Toby King. Yeah. There you go. Done. Right. Now, let's move more on to the predictions. I think we will not put all our eggs in one basket for this game. I think we have a big semi-final coming up the following week. And we're looking a bit straggly, aren't we? We've got a few injuries. Harrison's gone. Not sure how we all fared after the Wigan game. So I'm not sure we'll win this. I think we might have that classic. Where did we go one year before a Challenge Cup semi-final and we got absolutely hammered? Was it London or somewhere?
Harlequins, yeah.
We got absolutely battered. So I think that Huddersfield will win this, but I wouldn't read too much into it. I think we'll be half-heartedly putting an effort in a week before we play Hull KR. So I see this one as just essentially, we're high enough up the table. They'll all be wrapped up in cotton wool. We might see some changes to the side as well. A few players who possibly could have played won't play because they want them for the following week. So based on that, I think Huddersfield will win this one.
And is that why you've only just put £1 on Warrington? Why don't you put £1 on Huddersfield?
Because I didn't think of that when I was making me bet. but on to the Hull Kingston Rovers game. And this leads me back to the Wigan match now. Genuinely, I only think we've had two tests this year and we've failed both of them. We failed away at Catalans when Catalans were up for it and we failed at Leeds when Leeds were up for it. I don't think the opening game of the season, St Helens were in the form that they're in now. I think they were undercooked. And if you look at that Wigan team, it is struggling. It is not that Wigan game. We were just competent. And going back to what Sam said about we're doing a lot of the basics right. Everything and all that structure fits into winning at home against a very poor Wigan team. But I don't think Wigan were a test. Wigan will be a test come the playoffs when Bevan French returns and Jay Fields running around behind a big pack. But at the moment, they're just an academy team. So I think we've had two tests this year, one against Leeds, one against Catalans. We failed both. This, for me, is the decider where we lie this season. And I'm worried about our post-contact meters average gain. If we lose to Hull Kingston Rovers, I genuinely believe we're in for a mediocre season. We don't have the pack to take on the big teams when it matters. We have been bossed around in the pack twice. It will be interesting to see if we get bossed around by Hull Kingston Rovers. I know we've got some sensational backs, but for me, that front row and what comes off the bench is not good enough to win Super League.
I like how you're getting up, building up for this 10 games and the Challenge Cup part of the season. This is the critical part of the season, isn't it? I agree with you. I think that, you know, depending on how the next 2 weeks go, really will reflect in the rest of our season. And I'm with you on that. I do think that there'll be extra focus to try and win the Challenge Cup because Sam Burgess will be, you know, wanting to get at least that because he's so close now. Whereas the Super League is obviously a lot more difficult to achieve. So I do think, yeah, you're right. But I would think that they would go for a massive win over Huddersfield. I think they'd run a bulldozer the way through. But whether they could beat Hull KR, I really do doubt that. Like you say, with the pack. Sam?
I'm in broad agreement with what Rob said. I don't think we've only had two tests, but I do agree that the two biggest tests we had, we didn't come up to scratch. So, but I don't think it's all on Hull KR. I feel at the moment, maybe the Leeds result in Vegas says something different, but I feel Hull KR are right on it again. And the last 3 weeks I've seen them, they've looked back to the best from last year. So I don't fancy us in that semi-final. But I don't quite see it as a make or break. I don't think we can. I think we would have a better chance if Sipley was fully fit and Tanganoa were fully fit and Byrne. But we'd need those three with our other players of Harrison, who's not there, and Philbin as the fourth prop. I agree with you, Rob. We look light unless our very first choice is on. And our first choice only looks decent. It doesn't look outstanding in terms of our first four props. But I don't see we've got much that we could rest for Huddersfield in terms of props. Mm. Not with Sipley out, Yates out and Harrison out.
So we're limited of what we've got, right? That's what also is a bit of a worry. But it's the same for every team in Super League this year. They're all falling
apart. Oh, yes. After Hull KR, we've got Toulouse and Bradford. So I feel out of those four games, we should be winning three. And the big test is Hull KR.
Right. Question. Based on the assumption now that Williams has gone and they just make the decision that he is now under the surgeon's knife, it's going to be a long recovery. Can we not pay him out? Can we not... So is there an opportunity maybe at some point this year that he gets paid out and we bring in a marquee player from the NRL?
On the assumption we've got some money, of course, because it's one thing saying let's pay him out and get somebody else in, but the money's got to come from somewhere. But my understanding is, yes, you could deregister him, if that's the correct word, and pay his contract up. And then you free up a space to bring somebody else on.
Where are the Panthers currently sitting in the NRL table? Do we have a Andrew Johns on our hands here?
Oh, hello.
Penrith.
Hello, are you starting that little one, are you?
Penrith don't make the playoffs.
Oh, no. They're head and shoulders above everybody at the minute.
Are they?
Top of the
okay.
league.
All right. Okay, yeah. So that's not going to happen. But essentially, if we are to have a good run in the playoffs, we need more power. We need more forwards. Surely deregister Williams and bring in a big bopper from the NRL that puts our average gain on the front foot. I don't think we'll beat Huddersfield. I don't think we'll turn up. And I wouldn't hold it against them at all based on the fact that we're trying to get to Wembley. I would put them all in cotton wool and play the youth team.
And what do you think against Hull KR then the week after? Do you think it's a 1 in 3 chance?
I just think it comes down to their pack. If their pack gets on top, then they'll start throwing the ball around like a hot potato and we'll lose, and we'll lose significantly. So I think Hull KR are coming into form. I think we'll lose and we'll come back and look at the average meters gain and you'll find us significantly lower than Hull KR. Because we haven't got the forwards. We haven't got the forwards to take them on.
That's a nice positive finish, isn't it, to the podcast today? are you going to Doncaster then, Sam? Is it where we playing? Semi?
It is, yes. But no, I have a prior engagement in the community.
No, hold that for next episode.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay, that's it. So as we search for more patrons, it's a patriotic goodbye from me. It's just a £3 per month. So long from Sam.
All the best.
And a click on the patron link in the description of this podcast. Farewell from Dennis. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
What have we got that we can finish on? Sam, anything? I've got nothing.
Oh my God. You've been giving us all these anecdotes before, how podcasts and professionals
absolutely
like do this.
Nothing.
And we're just sat here talking absolute bollocks for the last 5 minutes. I'm going to go to bed. Piss yourself in a minute.
Salmon? Sorry.